In the 1970s, a future, top-notch podcasting team was born, and then raised on military bases because their dads were in the Air Force. These Gen Xers eventually grew up and were unleashed upon the world. Today, looking forward to retirement, they survive by dishing out their opinions. If you have questions that need answers and an open mind, if you can spare 60 minutes a week, and if you have internet access, maybe you can listen to Kenyetta and Jack Save the World.
Clowns to the left of us, jokers to the right. Here we are, stuck in the middle with you, listening friends. Welcome back. We're excited and we're glad you decided to join us again for your weekly dose of uncomfortable truth. We are the best potpourri grassroots podcast this side of Al Gore's internet. Don't you forget it. Hi, Jack.
Hello, Kenyetta. I'm very sorry for you.
Back?
I'm still just very sad for you that your vacation is almost over.
It was
horrible.
Yesterday. No, I got back today.
Yeah. Oh, that's even worse.
I mean, you know, it had to be done. I have to keep the cats in the lifestyle that they've become accustomed to. So,
that's true.
My sacrifices have been great. I would have it no other way.
Yes. I mean, they would tell you that you probably don't work hard enough to provide them with what they need.
They would tell me 17 minutes after the fact that I didn't feed them today. That's what they would do.
I'm sure you haven't. I mean, no cat is ever fed. Ever. There's never any food in their dishes at all, ever. The water's never fresh.
Everything is just wrong, wrong, wrong. They have to step over all those extra piles of poo in the box. That's just, their life is horrible.
Yeah, it really is. Those poor critters.
Indeed. So there it is, folks. We're back. We're back again.
We are. It's been another exciting week in the world.
It has. Some things have been popping off.
That they have. That they have. I guess we might as well do our quick lawyer and legal update. I don't know if you saw that shortly before we started recording that the 12 jurors have been selected.
Yes.
And one alternate.
Yes. I saw that. And I also saw that Puddinface stop and give a impromptu conference coming out of the courtroom where, quote, he's upset that he has to waste time with this fake trial and it should be Biden that's on trial. You know, Biden has colluded with the district attorney's office and getting him all hemmed up in this.
Yeah.
Fake shit.
Over a fake thing that his Justice Department sent somebody to prison for.
What do we know?
Yeah. It's odd how his Justice Department sent a dude to jail for something that was fake. Seems to me that as president, if he knew it was fake, he could have stopped that man from going to jail.
Speaking of...
of the fat man, the orange man, or the man that went to jail?
The orange man. I guess we'll continue on in this vein. It's a little distasteful, but I will, because I want to get to the good part. So I read last week that apparently he asked the judge in the hush money trial to be excused from court next week so that he could sit in at the Supreme Court hearings for his immunity request. The judge was like, no.
Yeah.
What alternative universe has Scarlet Witch just phased us all to, where a man who has asked to be excused from one legal proceeding so he can attend another legal proceeding is the presumptive candidate for president? What universe is this? I don't want this Earth.
Right?
Take me back to Earth 616 or whatever. Earth Prime. I don't, just get me out of here. It sucks.
Yeah, Walking Dead Earth would probably be better.
Right. I take a zombie. At least I can be sure of certainty. Hit the head, takes him down. You got to hit him in the head.
Yeah.
But no, we get this.
And then the dude comes out and he's all lying. And of course, right-wing media is lying because he asked, can he attend Baron's high school graduation? And he's on, the judge won't let me. Number one, the judge said, it's too early to tell. We will revisit this later. That was the response from the judge, right? Not that you can't go. Number one. Number two, Trump hasn't attended the high school graduation of any of his kids. Although apparently now there's conflicting stories that he may have attended Tiffany's, which is funny because that's the kid that he doesn't even really recognize that exists. But the only thing I can think of is that Barron Trump is the son that Donald Trump never had.
It would explain why Baron is like 6'3".
Six, apparently, dude's like 6'7". He's
He
like
is.
Lurch.
Thank you. Where did he get that gene from?
It's got to be on Melania's side, I would imagine.
Golly, that kid went like a beanstalk. Anyway.
Yeah. All this week, though, they've been doing jury selection. All I've been thinking of, there's a part of me that wish I lived in Manhattan and got selected. I wouldn't like lie to be on the jury because even though I hate the man, you still deserve to have jurors that will be fair, right? But it would have been so great if they could have said, can you be fair? And I would have responded, no, I hate the man almost as much as his mother did. That would have got you disqualified immediately, but that would have made so much national hilarity that it would have been worth being in the jury pool for however long.
As I walked out, after they dismissed me and I walked out, I would throw up the power fist. I'm out. So let's talk about the other day in court where the Orange Menace was caught dozing.
You
Here's
mean
this.
Don Snorleone?
Yes, that is actually one of the nicknames I found amongst the social media. Let me tell you the rest. That was my favorite, by the way, Don Snorleone. Also, Napper Don,
Yeah.
Dozing Donnie, Sleepy Chump. Drowsy Don, the Nod Father, that's my second favorite.
Oh yeah, the Nod Father's also good, yeah.
Snooze, Bronzy Bronze. And last but not least, his Russian code name, Not Off Nick.
Yeah, those are all great.
Genius, chef's kiss. And of course,
Yeah.
he came back and said, I wasn't napping, I was praying. To
Yo,
whom? To whom?
himself, probably. Oh, no, he was napping, and I have no idea if this is true. I don't know if it is. It would be perhaps one of the funniest things that has ever happened in court. Apparently, on Monday, when he was dozing, he audibly farted enough to where like people turned over to the table that he was at, and apparently he just slept right through it.
If that's not an old man, I don't know what is. Like legit, you could take
Right.
that, you could take that image and that whole scenario and just put him on the front porch in a rocking chair.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say with 100% that it is true, right? Because it wasn't like a reputable source that said it or anything like that. I don't know. And, but if it is true, that has got to be one of the funnier things to ever happen in court.
That's just I'm straight up a child when it comes to talking about somebody farting.
Especially in that situation. And then when everybody knows that the man's incontinent and wears diapers, so that happens to people, obviously. So when someone reports that, it's like, well, I mean, it is very plausible. And people do fart when they're sleeping.
You know this joke I heard years ago? What's the definition of a fart?
Well,
It's the tortured cry of a trapped turd.
That's right. It's the ghost of your food. Your ghost of
You
your
see,
last meal.
I've been reduced to a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
I wish that court allowed cameras, because that would have been the greatest thing to have on camera.
Well, I mean, them sketch artists they got in there pretty good. I hope one of them caught that. If it happened, I hope they caught that reaction.
Right, they sketch
That
it and
would
have
be
like
top notch.
a little green cloud behind them.
Yes, like in the comics. Poof. And the whole other side is just, they just caught it right there. And
Yeah.
then after the trial is over, they'll sell, prints of it as collector's items.
Yeah, I'm just waiting
Oh.
for a commercial, though, in all seriousness, from like the Biden campaign that says something along the lines of, "Dude can't stay awake for his trial proceedings. What makes you think he can stay awake for a security briefing?"
And the irony of him calling
Sleepy
Biden
Joe.
Sleepy Joe. Are you kidding? No one ever caught Biden dozing at anything.
Yeah, I saw several headlines along the lines of, Donald's gonna re or Trump's gonna regret calling him Sleepy Joe now. But
Yeah, he's not going to regret anything until he goes to prison for one of these things, which, even at this stage in the game, who knows? Who knows? But yeah, I had to talk about those nicknames. So, all right, let's roll.
let's roll.
Think
Let's
it's
roll. Yeah, mine is actually fairly simple. It involves alumnus of WTF, Moscow Marjorie Trader Green.
you. Either one was fine.
Yeah, I've well once even though I can't stand the dude, he was part of the Freedom Caucus, but retired Congressman Ken Buck has started calling her Moscow Marjorie.
And what you just said, tater, and now I have a new one, mashed tater green.
There we go.
Yeah,
But
that fits. Okay.
yeah. So she introduced a slew of amendments to different bills yesterday, including one that requires funding for the development of space laser technology to defend the Southwest border.
We
And
do
yeah, I know.
not live in Iron Man's America. What is wrong with her?
I know.
I don't
She
even know
should
why I'm
know
asking
that
that
there are
question.
not space lasers, as somebody who's a congressman. I happen to know that there aren't, because, and I can say this, my son was a satellite operator, and when he was going to school, he asked his instructor, because, he didn't know. It was like his fifth day in class or whatever, if the U.S. had space weapons, to which the instructor then went on a half-hour diatribe about how it is against the U.S. law and it is against international law for any country to have space weapons, let alone lasers.
So apparently, in the whole premise of Real Genius was a complete lie. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah. And plus, it'd be really hard to dial in a laser to pop popcorn like that.
I mean, one can hope.
Right?
One could hope.
But
So,
now, that being
yeah.
said, other
Yeah.
countries may have weapons in space, but they're breaking international treaties and laws that you aren't supposed to.
But somehow she thinks that that's a thing.
Yes.
Okay. That just, it tracks.
And someone should also should now we the U.S. military does have laser weapons. The Navy has some ships that have that on there, that are like, to shoot down planes and whatnot. Those things are gigantic and huge.
It wasn't she the same chucklehead a few years ago that blamed the wildfires on lasers?
Yes, the Jewish space laser started the California wildfires. She apparently has a
Okay.
thing for space lasers.
Lord, I need her to just go ahead and rewatch Star Wars and just leave people the fuck alone. How about that?
Right? And her other amendment to a bill is that any member of Congress who vote to give the Ukraine funds should be drafted into the Ukrainian military.
She is a complete waste of space.
I know. I feel sad for the oxygen she has to breathe in to live. That poor oxygen.
It's so eager to escape her and turn into CO2. So
Yeah.
eager.
I have never felt sorrier for an element than I do for the oxygen that has to enter into her body.
I oh God. Ooh wee. When is she up? When is her term up?
Well, hopefully she loses in this next election cycle because she's a congressperson, so it's every 2 years. So,
Okay, well, here's the hoping.
yeah.
Well, I mean, not so much her, because she'll always exist in this particular fashion. I'm talking about the idiots that put her there twice.
Well, yeah, those idiots are. That's a different group of folk. Unfortunately, I don't think anyone's running against her, so I think she's probably already reelected.
I really hate it here. I'm so sick of people wasting time.
Yeah,
Woo.
I always feel it doesn't matter. The other party should always put a candidate against someone else, and it shouldn't be left as an open seat. And if it's a Democrat, I think somebody should run against them too. I think it makes you a better candidate when you have to fight for your the elected position that you want.
Right,
You should have to fight for it.
you have to take it seriously when you're campaigning against something else, which means you just might take the job seriously. She clearly is
Right.
not.
Right.
Sheesh. Either that, or if someone's in a district where they're unopposed, make it so people, representatives in neighboring districts and maybe share it or can get involved with it. There needs to be something in these instances, honestly. Because
Yeah.
literally two people can go out and vote and she'll win.
Doesn't even need two. She can just go and vote for herself if you're unopposed.
It's just a waste. She's just a waste of space.
Yeah. Not big on my WTFing, but
It's enough.
sometimes you don't need a big thing to make you go, what the fuck? And usually that's the case with Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Everything is a little tiny. What the fuck? But it adds up.
Yeah, so what you got for us?
So this just reported today. A group of chuckleheads in North Carolina Tuesday decided that they were going to pull two bear cubs that were up in a tree out so they could take pictures with them.
That seems like a bad idea.
A video that was taken by an onlooker, the group of people approach a tree lining the fence of an apartment complex in Asheville, where two small cubs are perched in branches. And the video shows them clearly wrestling with these little babies that are trying to hold on to the branches. They're wrestling to pull the little babies off so they can take pictures with them. And apparently, they might have injured one of them.
Oh, even better. Did Mama Bear find them?
Clearly not, because I would have led with that. This should have been a Darwin's example right here.
Or a winner of a Herman Cain Award.
Either or. But the fact that these are wild animals.
Yes.
I don't care how cute and cuddly they are. Leave them the hell alone. Oh my God, you're
Yeah.
handling wild animals. And you think it's cute because you want to take a picture so you can put on the socials. They can go straight to hell.
Yeah, it's one thing if you see an injured wild animal and you're trying to get it to a vet so it can be rehabilitated and re-released into the wild. That's one thing. This
So,
is just flat out wrong. Let the critter be.
a lady by the name Ashley Hobbs, who is a special projects biologist at the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission, responded after receiving a report of these chuckleheads messing with these poor babies. She got there to find the group of people still there with only one of the cubs present, who was lethargic, limping, and had a low body temperature, and the other cub could not be found.
Oh my gosh.
They better be glad mama was nowhere around.
Yeah.
Because they would have been DEAD.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
But I don't understand the idiotic disregard of life. Like, honestly, what the hell? Especially when you know stories about people that have messed with bear cubs. You don't have to mess with them. All you got to do is look at them cross-eyed. Mom's is coming. She will mow you down. Have you not seen Cocaine Bear?
Exactly.
She doesn't even need cocaine. All you have to do is mess with the babies.
And but it's like cocaine naturally erupts in her system when you do that.
I'm like, y'all are about the stupidest. And I don't, it doesn't even necessarily say whether or not, I mean, obviously they're not legally in any trouble. And they probably just shrugged it off and laughed about it later.
But no, they should be.
If they were dumb enough to do that, then they didn't take this seriously later on at all. So
yeah.
That's my WTF. Chuckleheads disregarding Mother Nature. Fuck them.
There we go. There we go.
There it is.
There it is. Well, let's, I guess, move on. And I know that you had a nice, lovely subject for us today. And I'm assuming that it's probably someone slightly less racist than Pastor Shane from last week.
I mean, it does involve a touch of that, but nobody specific.
So, okay.
So, yeah. We're going to dig into today's episode. Our main topic will be referring back to something that we've discussed here on a previous episode a while back. Back when your Jack primary podcast was still in effect. And you had Dr. Bob on to talk about the Tulsa Race Massacre.
Yes.
I want to talk about what Greenville was before that.
Yes.
And the whole history of Black towns in Oklahoma. I would like to touch on some positive, beneficial things. I don't always like to truck in tragedy. So I want to talk about what the ideas and the hopes and aspirations were for Greenville and why it became what it became. So, to start off with, Black folks started showing up in the what was then referred to as Indian Territory in the 1830s, and they came along with, a lot of them came along with the displaced Five Tribes Nation and other indigenous that were forced out of the South in an excursion tragically known as Trail of Tears. Listen, friends, if you've never read about this, do. It is one of the most, let me back up. It is yet another proud example of how European Americans made this country their own. Anyway, so yes, most of the first Black people to settle that particular area came with the indigenous. Some of them were enslaved by some of the nation's people. Some of them were freedmen. Some of them ended up being freed as enslaved people of the nation's folks, but they stayed and cohabitated together pretty much for protection, mutual protection, which makes a lot of sense. But they were flocking. And Black folks found opportunity finally in that area. Now, mind you, Oklahoma did not officially become a state till 1907. So what was happening here took place decades before they became a state. And once they became a state, it was all over. We'll get there. So the interesting thing about Oklahoma, especially the Indian territories, is that between 1865, the very end of the Civil War, and 1920, African Americans founded more than 50 townships and settlements in the area. There were other states during that time frame that saw establishments of Black towns and settlements that include Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, New Mexico, Colorado, and Seneca Village in what is now New York City, which was seized by the local government in 1857 by eminent domain to build Central Park. Look it up, friends. Be proud. Anyway, but that's just an example in other places of the country that a lot of Black towns and settlements cropped up at. None had more than Indian Territory slash Oklahoma, though. None had
Right.
more during that gap of time. They were popping up all over, and for good reason. Again, a lot of them were enslaved that became free or were already free and were coming up from the South. They said, fuck it, we're leaving. And they found opportunity in Oklahoma, and then the word spread. So more and more people started coming, and they started establishing their own places. So towns and settlements such as Marshalltown, North Fork Colored, Canadian Colored, and Arkansas Colored actually existed as early as the 1860s when it was still Indian Territory. Other Indian Territory towns that unfortunately no longer exist include Sanders, Maybelle, Wiley, Homer, Huttonville, Lee, and Renty. After it became Oklahoma Territory, other towns that popped up then were Lincoln, Cimarron City, Bailey, Zion, Emmanuel, Eudora, and Douglas. And sadly, none of those exist today. Out of the more than 50 that were founded in that time frame, only 13 are still recognized as towns.
I think Boley has the largest population still of people that still live there.
You're correct. Yes. And it's the best known Black town there in Oklahoma, and it happens to be home to the Black Rodeo. Look it up, friends. We've been into this a while. Excuse me. Brooksville is another town that still exists, as well as Clearview, Grayson, Langston, Lima, Redbird, Rentiesville, Summit, Taft, Tatums, Tallahassee, and Vernon. So those are the 13 that still exist. And Langston happens to be home to Oklahoma's one and only HBCU, Langston University, home of the GOAT Research Facility. I'm not lying. Look it up. So, as a matter of fact, Booker T. Washington, who is or who was a nationally prominent African American educator, look him up, visited Boley twice and submitted an article about it to Outlook magazine in 1908.
Cool.
So, while not a town, a part of Tulsa was claimed for African Americans in 1906. And that district was called Greenwood. So, again, most of that area had already been populated by freed and formerly enslaved Africans. And one man in particular made a sizable purchase of that land to establish Greenwood. And while before that happened, there were, like I said, other people establishing and claiming their share of land legally in the area. So a lot of those Black folks that were able to claim land before Greenwood had been established did so through something called the Dawes Act. And that was a U.S. law that pretty much gave land to individual indigenous peoples. It was authored by Senator Henry Dawes of Massachusetts, and it was also known as the General Allotment Act. And it allowed for the president to break up reservation land, which was held in common by the members of a tribe, and the smaller allotments to be parceled out to individuals, which is where and how some Black folks got to be landowners. When you think about some of the fortunes of old money families in this country, a lot of it was because they managed to snatch up and hold and retain land. That's the one thing they're not making any more of. You've heard that before. And it's true. So, with Black people, in the years since being pushed out of or denied or cheated out of their land, because we spoke on a previous episode about Lake Lanier and the history of the area that that was built on, the stories, unfortunately, of Black folks being denied their piece of dirt was well known. So, and of course, we know the story of what happened to Greenwood. So, but unfortunately, that's just one of the stories. But before that, again, the Dawes Act came up. It gave a lot of people opportunities to claim some land. And then the land run 2 years later, in 1889, opened up more quote unquote free land. And again, because word had spread, a lot of freed Black folk were coming up from the South, trying to stake and claim Oklahoma. And as a side note, listening friends, if you've ever wondered where the nickname for our state comes from, it's because of the land run. We're called the Sooner State. And the Sooner State, or a Sooner, was a cheater who broke out and claimed the stake of land before the official beginning of the land run. Like, literally, it was like, okay, go. And people were supposed to run and stake a claim of land. Well, these people snuck and staked the claim before it was officially open. Sooners, go figure. I didn't say it was original. That's just the way it happened. So.
Yeah, and the boomers were the people that came to like before. And there were actually several sort of phases. And the boomers, the guy's name was something David Payne, I believe. And he realized, hey, there's this part of Oklahoma that's not assigned to anybody. And so he started settling it. And those people were called boomers, which then led to the land run, which led to people being called Sooners. Which is why every time OU plays a football game, they yell Boomer Sooner.
Boomer,
Yeah.
sooner.
So they're actually named after crooks.
There it is. Oklahoma, folks. Oklahoma. Anyhoot. So, yeah, land run opened up more opportunities for folks to stake their claims. And Black folks took wholehearted advantage of that. And I don't blame them, not one bit, because you're finally getting out from, the legacy of slavery and the Confederacy and all that jack, and you get a chance to start anew. Why not? Why not? A fellow by the name of E.P. McCabe, who was a former state auditor in Kansas, helped found the town of Langston. And he encouraged other Black folks to settle in that Black town. To further his cause, he established the Langston City Herald and circulated it, often by means of traveling agents throughout the South, word of mouth. And he hoped, of course, that would draw more people into Oklahoma and form a political block, political power block in Oklahoma Territory, which is significant to have that. But, hopes and aspirations. Other African American leaders had a vision of an all-Black state. And of course, this dream was never realized, but nonetheless, many of those communities did flourish for many decades upon their or after their founding. So now we come to the story of Greenwood, a fellow by the name of O.W. Gurley, who was a wealthy Black landowner. He purchased 40 acres of land in the city of Tulsa. And he called that area Greenwood after the town in Mississippi. He started with a boarding house. And again, because the word is spreading, people started showing up. And apparently, according to Christy Williams, who is the vice chair of the African American Affairs Commission in Tulsa, he would actually loan money to people who wanted to start a business. And he had a system in place where anyone who wanted to own a business could get a help in getting loans. I mean, why not?
I mean, somebody has to do it, and Lord knows Whitey wasn't. Sorry.
another. You're fine. I'm giggly today. I'm sorry. J.B. Stafford, another fella who was born into slavery in Kentucky. Later became a lawyer and an activist, and he moved to Greenwood in 1898. He built the 55-room luxury hotel bearing his name, and it was the largest Black-owned hotel in the country.
Wow.
An outspoken businessman, Stratford believed that Black folks had a better chance of economic progress if they pooled their resources. And again, this is not wrong. Whew.
No,
Another
not
gentleman
wrong at
by
all.
at all. Another gentleman by the name of A.J. Smitherman, a publisher whose family moved to Indian Territory in the 1890s, he founded the Tulsa Star, a Black newspaper headquartered in Greenwood that became instrumental in establishing the district's socially conscious mindset. The newspaper regularly informed Black folks about their legal rights and any court rulings or legislations that were beneficial or harmful to their community. And as a side note, I should mention that this area attracted a lot of war vets as well. World War One bits.
Yes.
And as if you've gone back and listened to our previous Tulsa episode, you'll know that they played a significant role in attempting to defend that area during the race massacre. So, however, Greenwood, nicknamed Black Wall Street, along its main stretch, there were luxury shops, restaurants, grocery stores, hotels, jewelry, and clothing stores, theaters, barber shops and salons, a library, pool halls, nightclubs, and doctor, lawyer, and dentist's offices. They also had their own school system, a post office, a savings and loan bank, hospital, and bus and taxi service. Now, there were other residents that worked outside of the area that held down lower paying jobs, which I guess you might call blue collar. And I don't mean to sound elitist, but things like janitors or maids or things like that, or domestics, things like that. But they would come back and
Right.
spend that money right there in Greenville. And the money was kept in the community so well, on average, money could change hands an average of 19 times before it went outside the community. They were serious about keeping the wealth.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them. I mean, come on.
Greenwood was, for the time especially, it was incredibly, I don't know what the proper affluent, well organized,
All of those things.
in terms of the in the way it was run, very little corruption, for the whole country, white or black. And the fact that it was so hidden from US history when you get to that point makes it all the more tragic.
Sort of in this in related terms to what's happened with Haiti. For
Yeah.
as noble of a beginning as that country had, to see where they're at right now, just
I know.
because someone decided people didn't deserve to have good things.
Yep.
Oh boy. Any hoot. So folks lived quietly, peacefully, well off in Greenwood for a very long time. And as a matter of fact, there were railroad tracks that ran through Greenwood, which pretty much stood as the physical line between the white part of Tulsa and the black part of Tulsa. And that was just fine with everyone because at that point, people were still minding the business that paid them. Lord knows that should have stayed that way.
Yeah.
Any hoot. As I mentioned earlier, Oklahoma saw statehood in 1907. And state legislatures got in on the Jim Crow game. So, talked about Jim Crow in the not too distant past, and you know what that meant for Black folks in the area.
Yeah. Real quick, most people don't realize that Oklahoma actually was almost three separate states.
No, do tell.
Yeah, the panhandle was going to be a state called Cimarron. And very quickly, the federal government sort of squashed that idea and attached it to the Oklahoma Territory. And for the longest time, they were actually called the Twin Territories. There was the Oklahoma Territory and the Indian Territory. The Indian Territory is the eastern half of the state that kind of then goes up through Tulsa. And they actually submitted their constitution to the US Congress before the Oklahoma Territory did, and it was to be a state called Sequoia. And Teddy Roosevelt was president at the time, and he basically was able to get it killed before it even happened and basically forced them to combine the Oklahoma Territory and Sequoia into one state. Because this is funny now, because of the political makeup of the state, Roosevelt did not want there to be two states that would have been heavily Democratic, because that would have meant four Democratic senators and then a bunch of Democratic, representatives in Congress. And, you're lucky to hit two Democrats when it rains in this, which is, interesting, but that's how they got blended down into one. Into one state. So anyway, I thought I would throw that in because I just felt that it was kind of
Oh, it's relevant.
relevant to what we were talking about, especially since the Sequoia half of the state probably, if it would have been its own state, probably would not have had Jim Crow. They might have still been, there probably would have been some, but it wouldn't have been like the super extreme ones, if that makes sense, because the state would basically have been an Indian state or Native American state.
And
So anyway.
that's where a good deal in looking at the map, and I'll include the map in the our social posts for the episode. But the map, most the vast majority of the towns that were established in that time frame after the Civil War, a good deal of them do land in the eastern part of the state. So that would not have been a coincidence.
Yeah.
And it's quite possible that they would have thrived because, what was happening after Jim Crow came to settle in is that white folks were like, eh, nah, they tried to start, they started dissuading people, black people, from moving into the area, which is
Right.
no surprise in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because, as we mentioned, Jim Crow was about trying to dictate where blacks could go and how they could do it and with whom and at what time of the day. And a lot of it was based around whites being scared that their livelihood would be stolen. Yeah,
Oh, that,
that
thank God that didn't happen anymore.
happened.
We don't see that. Whew, white people have gotten over that.
Yeah, I'm proud of them. Unfortunately, though, the rising tensions and hostility caused a lot of people to give up their dreams of settling there. A lot of them bleed out, surprisingly enough, to Canada. Even though Canada was trying to lure people in, they were predominantly focused on white folks. A lot of black folks made their way up there and they formed colonies in Amber Valley, Alberta, and Maidstone, Saskatchewan. I'm so surprised I said that right the first time. Woo!
Right.
Another exodus from the area occurred with the Back to Africa movements that went on during the early part of the 20th century. And a large group of Oklahomans joined the ill-fated Chief Sam expedition to Africa. It is a thing, friends, and it's way too in-depth to get into here, but it's a very interesting story. Go look it up. A lot of other black folks migrated to colonies in Mexico, and then a lot of them boogied out west. More black people unfortunately left during the Great Depression some decades later, and also during the Dust Bowl era. And that's why, especially after, I want to say, World War II, you saw a lot of people, a lot of black people settling down in California and places west. Look it up. Not a joke. I'm not, there weren't necessarily black founded towns, but there are certain areas that are heavily black for that reason, because they had generations of folks that came there decades ago and settled down.
Yep.
We're everywhere. Boo. Anyway, I'm stupid. Anyway, unfortunately, it was during the 20s, give or take, that our favorite organization, the Ku Klux Klan, started to reemerge. They had gone quiet for a while, but all of a sudden they all found the balls and showed back up to make people's lives a hassle. And
Well, you know,
they did their fair share of driving out black folks. Yes.
that's just
I
not
told you
shocking at all, right?
there'd be some racists here. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So, Oklahoma Supreme Court, no surprise, routinely upheld the Jim Crow laws established, including those surrounding voter restriction, and as you've heard us talk about previously, subjecting folks to poll taxes and literacy tests. And I'll stop here and clarify that while Jim Crow, well, black codes and Jim Crow laws were predominant in the South, they most definitely made their ways west and north. It wasn't regulated just to the South. They
Right.
eventually made their ways to wherever white folks felt threatened. There's really no other way to put it. So they
I
made their
mean,
ways.
that is the accurate way to describe it.
I mean, Lord have mercy. Anyway, so like I said, over time, a lot of those black the towns died out. And again, because of the Jim Crow laws, they found themselves cut off from supply lines and weren't able to build and maintain any kind of economy. And unfortunately, not just with people cutting loose and going to other places, people that stayed and tried to keep them up, were forced out. And then, of course, like I said, we have things like the Red Summer of 1919. That was briefly mentioned, oh, a year and a half ago. I think we're talking about sundown towns. And yeah, that was mentioned then. Well, there was a series of race-related riots that went on in different major cities across the country during that particular summer. And then, of course, unfortunately, you have the race massacre that occurs in several years after that. So, yeah, it was no, it's no, it doesn't even take a genius to figure out that the story about how the race massacre began was surrounded by an accusation that a black man had tried to sexually assault a young white girl. You can't tell me from this day to the next that those white guys didn't finally find their excuse to go over there and do what they've been wanting to do forever.
I tend to agree with you that they were just looking for their reason and they found it.
They sat over there sucking their teeth, being mad at these good-looking black folk who had the
Just.
nerve, to make and they own money. Ooh.
Yeah, just trying to live their lives, doing their own thing, and being like, you know what? If you're not going to allow us into the economy, we're going to create our own economy, which then, of course, leads to, oh, well, you can't have your own economy.
So basically, what was supposed to happen is we were all supposed to just agree to stay up under somebody's boot for the rest of our lives. Gotcha.
Yeah, you're just now figuring that out?
Jesus.
Wrong with you?
So, listening friends, that's the story in a nutshell.
Yeah.
An overall view of how Oklahoma, surprisingly enough, was the hotbed for black towns for once upon a time. And what Greenville was intended to be before hateful honkies ruined it. Oh my God, I said it.
Hateful
You can't.
honkies.
Listening friends, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But please be advised that I promise you there's not too many white folks that are.
You meant honky in the very best sense of the term.
Yes.
You know, you sometimes, you know, that it just, you didn't mean it, it just slipped out.
I'm not that kind of person, guys. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Oh, like seriously though, I don't know that I've ever heard a white person be actually offended by that word.
No, I mean, I think honky's kind of funny, personally.
Peckerwood is funny.
But now that one, no.
And we didn't make that up. Other white folks made
Right?
that up. So, yeah,
Another
we did.
sort of real quick aside, if I could, something
Yeah.
that's very interesting, though, about the whole Indian Territory slash Oklahoma Territory, you know, forced to be one state. So I don't remember exactly when it was, but there was a Native American fellow. I can't remember what tribe he is. I think it's Cherokee. Pretty sure it's Cherokee. But he got arrested and convicted of, I think, murder or something like that. I don't, anyway, he fought his conviction and took it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And he actually won. And this occurred, I want to say Trump had one, maybe two Supreme Court people on. Amy Coney Barrett hadn't been. She was his last one. But the guy won. And basically, his point is based on treaties that the United States government has with the Cherokee Nation and various tribes about when they were forced to come to the Indian Territory, he cannot be arrested and tried with murder because, according to these territories, it's up to the tribes to arrest and try him.
That's correct.
And he pulled out all of these, the treaties and everything, and he won, which now has created all of these other issues in the state of Oklahoma. And I'm not going to argue or do the merits of the, should it be correct? Did that go away when it became one state? Because that was the state's argument that had Congress wanted. So there was one argument Congress clearly didn't care. And they're like, well, in every other case, when a state becomes a state, treaties with tribes kind of went away. And so I'm not going to discuss the whole merits of it, but basically the guy ended up getting released from prison because the Supreme Court ruled that only the tribes can charge somebody who's a member of a tribe in tribal lands for, murder or whatever, or various other crimes. And it's had quite a bit of fallout that are even things that you don't think about. Like one of my jobs, or my, there's something called the Section 106 process. Basically, anytime federal funds are used to put anything towards a building or structure that's older than 45 years old, it has to go through our office to make sure that it's not damaging a historic property, yada, 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 yada. So there are various agencies, all sorts of groups that do this stuff. So now, any agency that is not affiliated with the tribe, if it is taking place on tribal land, we now have to not only send it to the people submitting it, we have to now CC the tribes our approval. And that's one of the, or non-approval, whatever the case may be, that's one of the things that that decision changed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. And you say that as far as there being backlash from that decision, oddly enough, and I'm not making excuses for them in any way whatsoever because they've jacked it up quite a bit in the last couple of years. But I think that's why they're hemming and hawing on certain cases right now, especially the one, as far as the Jan 6 insurrectionists, how they're tiptoeing around actually saying, can we punish these guys the way that people are saying they should be punished because this one clause of this act doesn't necessarily shut the hell
Right.
up.
Yeah.
Like, come on. And in one side of my brain, it says, I get where they have to be careful with certain decisions because as we've seen, those decisions have a domino effect and set a precedent for everything vaguely related down the line.
Yep.
And they want to make sure that they don't open anybody up to something that they shouldn't be. I get that on one side of my brain. On the other side, I remember this is the court that jacked around and decided to let the states govern women. So my understanding is mitigated naturally. But
Right.
I did find out something interesting that has to do with my job. The act that they are talking about is called the, I don't know how you pronounce it, Sarbanes-Oxley Act.
Okay.
And it was established in 2002 to help protect investors from fraudulent financial reporting by corporations. And there's a little clause in there, apparently, which is what the bone of contention is with the court right now, in that people that try to obstruct normal business of an organization or something of that effect can get
Right.
punished under this act. And they're saying that might not work because blah, blah, blah. So they're pretty much being chuckleheads about it. I'll say no
Right.
more.
Well, there are people that they're like, well, you can timestamp my cell phone and see that I didn't enter the Capitol until they had already adjourned. And so
Yeah.
their point is there was no official government act taking place whenever they were
Right.
assaulting the Capitol. It's like,
Right.
well, they wouldn't have adjourned had you fuckers not been assaulting the Capitol.
Hello. That's a ridiculously small, narrow window to have doubt in. They are ridiculous right now.
Yeah.
They are ridiculous. Anyway, it has to do with my job because ever since my company went up on the we finally went public a few years ago, and now certain parts of our finance divisions have to comply with the SOX Act in as far as how what kind of records they keep and how they
Right.
report things, and they have to keep record meticulous records for audits and things of that nature. So I was like, oh, look at that, I know something vaguely.
Right. Well, do you want to sort of something what I was talking about though with the tribal lands and all of that stuff? So Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt, based upon his actions and stuff he does as governor, doesn't seem to be too fond of the tribes, which is a big mistake in Oklahoma because they're one of our biggest impactors for financial making, money making in the state of Oklahoma. The tribes are huge and they spend a lot of money into Oklahoma redevelop, making things all sorts of money. Anyway, Kevin Stitt, not a fan of the tribes for some reason, which is also weird because he's a member of the Cherokee tribe. So theoretically, he's Cherokee, right? It, so meanwhile, he's in court and battling the tribes on all of these things, and his brother, Keith Stitt. I don't know if it was he got pulled over or something. Anyway, he's fighting it on the grounds that the state of Oklahoma can't do to him because what had happened was he's a member of the Cherokee tribe and he was on tribal land, and so the state can't go after him for whatever it is. It like meanwhile, his brother is, taking the tribes to court and battling them on all of this. And I just find that to be quite funny.
That Lord have mercy. On another related note, not quite as humorous, but interesting nonetheless. A little funk R&B band called the Gap Band. I've mentioned them before.
Yep.
Are from Tulsa,
Yes,
Oklahoma.
they are.
The name of their band comes from three streets in Greenwood: Greenwood, Archer, and Pine. And the matter of fact, that was the name of their band initially, Greenwood Archer and Pine Band, and eventually just became
Gap.
Gap Band.
Well, Kenyatta, I have some good news for you. I have met a member of the Gap band.
Which
I,
brother?
for the life of me, can't tell you who it was.
Because they're brothers, so that
No, no,
helps.
no, no. The museum did an exhibit on rock and roll and music from that were all people from Oklahoma, and they had this big opening exhibit, and the Gap band was one of the bands that was featured, and some of the members of the band were at that opening, and I got to shake the hand of one of the members of the band. I don't
Nice.
know which one it was because there was just so much going on that particular night,
Oh, yeah.
and you're meeting various people, and I don't remember which one it was. And to be honest with you, I don't even know if he was even, say, an original member of the band. I just know that when the event happened, he was a member of the Gap Band. That's all I know, and I can't tell you who it was.
I mean, it was all the same members the entire time they stayed active until. The best known one is Charlie. He's solo now, but yeah, they didn't like replace members like the Temptations or anything like that. It was strictly them from the beginning to the end.
Okay, well, then it was an
So,
original member, but.
okay, fair enough. I dig it. I dig it. I dig it.
And that was such a busy night, and it was so crazy. I don't even know if I could go and find a, picture of the members from 2010-ish and tell you if I could even figure out, which one it was. But, still,
I dig it.
that
I dig
happened.
it. Also, and this is a rumor that's been debunked since, but there was a rumor around for years, apparently before the internet, that their song, You Dropped a Bomb on Me, was supposedly their roundabout way of referring to the race massacre. And Charlie Wilson came out sometime later and said, no. It's still an interesting rumor nonetheless.
Yeah, definitely is.
So there are I'm losing it. We're at the end. Some definitively Oklahoma boys right there. I'm never mad at a fellow Okie. So
Yeah.
there you go.
Yeah. That was in definitely interesting, and it's worth Some of that I know basically because of where I work, and that's the only reason that I know, knew about a lot of sort of what you were talking about. But it's only because I work at the Oklahoma Museum of History, right?
I mean, some of the research I pulled is from the website.
Yeah.
So that was plenty helpful. And you've mentioned this a couple times before about Dave Grohl crediting the Gap Man for what he did on Smells Like Teen Spirit. So
Yeah.
I'm telling you, listening friends, we've been in it since the beginning. And
Yeah.
if you really want to know, go look at old pictures of the Gap Band. They are definitely sporting some custom cowboy hats.
Oh, good God, yeah.
Yes. They were a thing of beauty. They are true Okie boys. So yeah. So there it is. There's my small look into the Black towns of Oklahoma, and specifically what Greenwood could have been.
Yeah. And, some people just can't let people have nice things.
But listening friends, if you want to help us collect reparations, Jack, can you tell them how?
You can go to buymeacoffee.com/hyperfocuspods to where we would be thrilled, tickled, honored, and very happy if you were to give us whatever you feel that you could give us, because Zoom isn't free.
Yay. And on
So,
that note, these two Okies. Bid you adieu.
bye.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.